Hello, everyone. Welcome to Cellular Healing TV, episode 32. We have one of our frontline, more than leader in our business at this point. Meredith is living and loving the mission along with us. She's done everything that we asked her to do as far as protocols and serving and helping us write articles. Meredith is amazing, and we're really excited to have her on Cellular Healing TV today, along with Dr. Pompa, our health expert for today. Welcome, Meredith and Dr. Pompa.
Hi,
yeah.
Thank you. Hello,
well,
everyone.
And I have to say this right up front,
what's
Meredith
that?
Is not the the pet expert. You might want to clarify that.
Yeah, yeah. The pet expert. We apologize. We tried to record the pet expert a couple times. That's why Meredith is on the call today. I know a lot of you were expecting that, but we had some technology difficulties with a couple of their computers, so we are going with the RAGE, what we have right now, which is the ketosis diet and these ketogenic diet questions that are coming both through our office and Dr. Pompa and the doctors that watch this show and are part of our program. Dr. Pompa actually did a live call last night, and it wasn't even on the ketogenic diet, and probably 75% of the calls, call-ins, weren't even on the topic they were speaking on. That's how adamant people want this information and how life-transforming it is. And I know I have a lot of questions about the ketogenic diet. So I'm going to launch you two into some of the questions in this RAGE, Dr. Pompa and Meredith. Thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. Yeah, we were over, you know, I was just, all these keto questions came in, you know, for people who read the article. And, you know, so we were excited about that. But we realized that we need to answer more of them. You know, there's people are loving it, and we're getting all these emails on how many people are doing it and their responses. So it's been really fun and exciting. So we'll hopefully we'll bring that to you. And hey, the pet thing, I am excited about that. I mean, pet health, we're going to talk about some massive 180-degree myths with pets and pet health. It will shock you. I think it's going to be one of our number one shows. I mean, if you have a pet, join in on the next show. It's going to be a good one. So sorry we couldn't bring it to you this day. But with that said, you know, Meredith, you you have been such a blessing. I mean, you've come a long way in your own story. So and you've learned so much. You know, I think you know my material as well as anybody. You might know better than me. But anyways, you know, and you are. You're one of those people who just, you just do it. You know, you just do it, girl. But, you know, you've been, you know, I would say, how many years were you eating healthy before you came and started with us?
Well, you know, healthy is relative for sure.
Yeah.
I had started in about 2010 when I left New Orleans. I started eating a macrobiotic diet, and I did that for about 3.5 years, and dramatically different than the cellular healing diet. So, you know, I experimented with that. That was kind of the genesis of it all, and just kind of my interest in health. And I've evolved, and I'm still learning and still experimenting. I love to self-experiment, and but I feel awesome. I've been following what you've said, and it's yeah. You know, it's the real deal. It's really, it's so fun, and I feel so good. So.
Yeah, yeah. When you came, I mean, you started with the cellular healing diet and the core cellulars, pretty much, right? Isn't that where you started?
Yeah, you got to start. Just keep it simple.
Yeah. What changes did you notice with that? I mean, again, you were already eating pretty healthy. You went to the cellular healing diet and the core cellulars. What changes did you notice?
Yeah, yeah. Well, just as far as diet goes, though, like cutting out the grains for me was huge because I had eaten grains, I mean, brown rice and just all the grains almost 3 times a day for years. And just didn't realize that that was really kind of promoting a lot of chronic inflammation in my body. So so cutting that out has been huge. You know, as far as the supplements go, too, the core cellular, you know, the Bind and the G-Cell, I just think, I mean, they're amazing products. The Bind, especially at night, just kind of getting those toxins out, I've found has just been really helpful. And I've been taking magnesium, too, the magnesium malate chelate, which... you know, we've talked about a lot and how there's such a widespread deficiency in this country.
Yeah.
And I've noticed just a really massive difference with the magnesium and just kind of keeping me more relaxed. You know, they call it the relaxation mineral, and I found that to be really true and helpful for me. So the Moores, I think, is amazing as far as methylation. I think I was under-methylated for sure, so working on that. And, yeah, but I'm enjoying the experimenting for sure, and the story continues, so.
And most of the grains you were eating were whole, considered whole, healthy grains, right? And
sure.
That, and that's all my point, is, you know, whole grains, because grains have changed so much are not the healthy thing. Again, 180-degree concept, you know, it's not the health food that people think it is.
Yeah.
Especially when you're challenged, getting rid of the grains is actually even more important. Actually, it has a more dramatic effect than getting rid of sugar, ironically enough.
Yeah.
That's a big one, too, so I don't want to minimize it. But anyway, so, okay, then you started reading, you know, some of the stuff that on ketosis and the keto diet. And,
yeah.
Of course, knowing you, you jumped right in. So did you get into ketosis quickly? How long? I don't even know. Tell me.
Yeah, and I'm not sure exactly how long it took because I didn't even get the blood tone meter and start kind of actually measuring my blood ketones, which is, you know, proof positive, until, you know, more recently. But I started cutting out the grains in about February, and I just noticed really a big change in my body fat. I just took like another Tanita scale measurement last night, and I had kind of had it documented from, you know, three times in the spring, summer, and then fall just last night, and it's just really cool to kind of see your body fat drop, your muscles increase, and just that clarity that comes with it too when your body shifts from sugar burning mode to fat burning mode. It's really cool.
I've watched this evolution, Dr. Pompa, because I am in the same office, and I remember when she first came on board, you know, she read like your diet is way different than the macrobiotic diet, and I. You know, and you know me, Dr. Pomp, I went right at it with her. And of course, she accepted it. She knew that coming in. But she used to be kind of glossy-eyed. You know, I don't know how else to say it. And she would usually admit it, yeah, I just can't think. You know, I'm brain fog, right? And it takes one to know one. You know, it's like you wouldn't, no one else would be able to notice that on someone. But because I've experienced it so much in my health journey as well, Meredith and Dr. Pompa, that, you know, I don't see that on her at all anymore. You don't see that lost look, that, you know, that frustration of not being able to think. She thinks and works, and her focus between, you know, starting with us and then, you know, what she does now, what she can accomplish in the day, the stress that she can handle. You have your fears, a lot of your fears have diminished. You're so much more confident. Obviously, you look amazing. I mean, you're a beautiful girl.
Yeah,
before
I've seen that transform. You're ripped. I mean, you know, and you're muscular, you know. I mean, you look amazing, and I have watched that transformation. You know, Warren's been able to watch the mental transformation for sure, which we always see, Meredith, and everybody, including ourselves. But anyways, yeah, so...
That's good, and really so much of it is diet-related. I mean, I have been incorporating the exercise, the burst training, you know, to a degree, but really, I mean, I've been moving. Actually, my life has been really busy the past couple of weeks. I haven't exercised in weeks, and I don't gain any weight, you know? And so many people think that just exercise is the key to weight loss and to being ripped and having those muscles, but really the diet to me has made all the difference.
It's everything. That's another 180-degree concept, right? It's the reason people are fat is because they don't exercise enough. Baloney. You know, we're big proponents of exercise. We love it, right? It's like, but...
And it's important, for sure.
No doubt. It is, for many reasons, but the key to weight loss or... you know, maintaining a healthy, lean stature is, in fact, all about the diet. So, you know, you brought up a point because I remember you saying the whole sugar burner, fat burner thing, you know, maybe you were confused on that in the beginning, and I think a lot of people are today.
Can you explain that? Yeah.
What's your thought? I mean, what were you confused on, and what do you hear? Because you take a lot of the front calls, so you get a lot of the questions, you know, when people are calling in about ketosis, about everything. So, you know, what's some of the questions there?
Yeah. Well, why don't we rewind, and just for people even just watching now, maybe they've never tuned in before, why don't we just explain what the ketogenic diet is and then take it from there?
Perfect. Yeah. So I'm gonna let you do that in your words, and then maybe I can chime in if I have to. But
you can correct me. Okay. All right. Well, the ketogenic diet is a high-fat, moderate-protein, low-carbohydrate diet. Those are kind of the ratios. And you said it's, you know, pretty much up to 60 to 70% fat, right?
And up to 80% at times. I mean, that works, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the key is moderate protein, too, and not high protein. Because in that, therein kind of lies the difference in a lot of these high protein diets, maybe, you know, Atkins, Paleo, some of these other diets that might advocate maybe a little bit more protein than you would suggest. Because when you eat too much protein, which is, this is actually something I learned more recently too, is that a process called gluconeogenesis occurs. And in that process, the excess protein that you're eating is turned into glucose. And either this glucose needs to be used as a fuel, as energy, or it's stored as fat. So basically, if you don't use that extra protein you're eating that's turned into glucose, then it's just going to be turned into fat. So you really got to be kind of careful and just have that right protein intake for sure, because that can really derail your efforts.
Yeah, you know, and I'd only add one thing to that. You know, she's right. And, you know, as the protein is too much protein, study after study shows it revs up the DNA. I mean, it's bad for the cell. It can drive inflammation. I believe there's times in people's lives and even their journey back to health that more protein is actually good for them. You know, so just like anything, you know, I mean, there are times, but in general, too much protein is not good. Whereas fat is absolutely more protective, a nutrient that you can burn, it's needed in the cells, the brain. So yeah, I mean, I think there's a big misconception about that. And with the paleo thing being a big craze, I think people go crazy with the protein, and that can be problematic.
Well, they with the paleo, they go crazy, Dr. Pompa, and with the CrossFit as well. It's you know, massive amounts of protein getting ripped, and there's, you know, more injuries because of CrossFit than any other form of exercise out there right now. There's actually a lot of, you know, bad press, and I know people love it. It's communal and all those things, and, you know, for some people, it's when you're at that fitness level, you can do that, but they're really injuring themselves, and, you know, and again, be ripped when the monkey in the room is really the monkey, the elephant or the
gorilla. 800-pound
gorilla. From a gorilla to a monkey.
The zebra in the room, the striped zebra. That my daughter loves, no. But in the room it is the diet, and the key to it is ketogenic, is that fat burning zone that you always are in. How about that? Here's the point. Here's a new article. Stay in the fat burning zone the rest of your life. Eat the ketogenic diet, right? I mean, that's where it's at.
In the zone, yeah.
No doubt about it. I mean, the you know, ketosis. You know, Meredith, I think this is one of the things questions I get too. Is, you know, who's it right for? You know, how long do I do it? Well, I mean, ketosis can be used as a tool that you move in and out of. It can be used as a tool for a period of time. Some people, they are just always going to function better their whole life on a diet like that. You know, everyone listening, most people listening have heard me say, you can't pinpoint the same diet on everybody. Our genetics are different. I mean, across every culture, there's things that are bad for people, right? I believe, you know, too many of the wrong fats, that's bad for everybody. Vegetable oils are bad for everybody. You know, so there's things that are bad for everybody. You know, but yet, how much protein, how much carbs, how much fat one can ingest with success is different and a little different for everybody. Mm-hmm. So, but when somebody's in a state of inflammation, we know that taking grains away, you know, and really altering and lowering the carbohydrate intake, we can downregulate inflammation. And then, once someone gets well, we can find the diet that genetically suits them. Some of you can do more carbs than perhaps me genetically and get away with it. You know, I can't genetically. I will get fat quickly, and I lose my energy if I do that. You know, so we're not trying to pinpoint this diet on everyone. Ketosis, you know, I do very well in it, and I function there as an athlete very well. I have lasting energy, fat burning. But again, oftentimes we just come in and use it as a tool, and we can move in and out of ketosis. And I guess that's my next question. And I have something I do want to share with everybody on that note. But, you know, explain to them the 5-1-1, because I know you get a lot of questions on that confusion. I got one last night on the live call that I was on. The 5-1-1, what's it for? How do you use it? When do you use it? Explain that.
Wow. All right. On the spot here. I love this. All right. I mean, these rules that you've kind of come up with and self-experimented with, I think are really amazing, because they do seem to work, and they make ketosis, to kind of break it down and make it a lot more, you know, just doable, I think. So 5 days of the week, you follow a basic ketogenic diet. So high fat, moderate protein, low carbohydrate. You know,
and how low carbohydrate? Because everyone wants numbers. And, and again, this is an average person. Some people need to go lower, but what is the low?
Yeah. Well, kind of depending on when you start too. So within the first week, you kind of keep it up less than 10 carbs, right? The second week, you keep it less than 20 carbs. The third week, you're into ketosis, keep it less than 30 carbs. Fourth week, keep it under 40 carbs. Fifth week, you're into it, keep it under 50 carbs. And then that's kind of the maintenance level, right?
And that seems to work for most people. Some people find that when they get to 50, it's a little too much. They have to go lower to stay in ketosis.
And athletes too can take it up a lot higher too. So
right. Some people can go a lot higher than 50. So those are just averages, right? And by the way, I want to say this before you explain more of the 5-1-1. There is the little meter. I don't know if yours is near the desk or anything. You probably have it at home. But anyway,
I can grab it. Do you want to grab it?
Yeah, go grab it. You can show it. So, and while she's doing that, I'll explain. So you, in the old days, we used to be able to measure urine, you know, well, we still can, but it's very inaccurate. You're basically looking at ketones that your body spills off, which doesn't mean you're in ketosis or not. So it's really a very inaccurate way to measure ketosis. And by the way, ketones, blood ketones, are from the fat metabolism. So as you break down fat, you make ketones. So being in nutritional ketosis is defined by blood ketones, and that's the device that we measure it with. And it's very simple. I mean, you know, it's a simple prick, and then it puts it in. You, in 10 seconds, you have your measure, your amount. You want to be between...
You want to show people how to do it?
Yeah, if you can, if she wants to. You want to be between 0.5 and 5, okay? And again, you know, Meredith's going to be on the low end, even though she's in ketosis, because... she's not burning a lot.
I'm in ketosis. I don't know.
Well, I mean, you're going to be on the low end because you're not burning fat. In other words, someone who's big and that's the strips.
Meredith, talk so they can see the strips. Wait a minute. I'll actually click on you. Here you go. Hold on. There we go. Now you can talk, Dan.
Okay. So we're actually stuck on you, Warren, on my camera.
We're on Meredith.
Oh, okay. You're on my camera. But anyways... So when we look at that blood value, it's 0.5 to 5. And again, it, you know, Meredith should be on the lower end of 0.5 just because of ketosis, just because she's not burning a lot of fat. She doesn't have a need to burn a lot of fat.
Show what you're doing, Meredith.
So show what you're doing.
Okay. All right. So I have the purple blood strip here. Now, this is different than a blood glucose strip. So we're not measuring our blood glucose, but we're measuring our blood ketones. And what are ketones? Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, you were kind of the way I did. Ketones are from the fat metabolism. When you break down fat, ketones are the byproduct. And by the way, back in the 1920s, ketosis became very, very popular. Two movies that most of you are familiar with, actually. First, Do No Harm, and Lorenz's Oil. Made about how ketosis actually fixes the brain.
Show them what you're doing. You didn't do that. You got to show us.
All right. So I took the ketone strip out of the package, inserted it into the ketone meter. So this is Precision Extra ketone meter. So it measures blood ketones and blood glucose. So it's kind of cool that it does both. But so I'm going to be measuring my ketones today with the purple strip, inserted that in. Next, I'm going to be drawing my blood. So that's next.
Show them that.
Okay.
The phlebotomist will be in a minute. And they'll start. No, it's a simple. And by the way, the old days, like these pricks, and you'd feel, I mean, that thing is so fast, you can adjust how deep it goes. You don't even feel it.
Yeah.
No.
But show anyway, it. So well, well
show
she,
it.
Do that. Go ahead.
All right.
There she goes.
Oh, wait. I haven't done this for a little. So I'm just going to do it straight.
Oh, wait, where's that little lid?
Yeah, I just kind of, I went right in for it so I get enough blood. Sometimes I don't get enough blood, so I'm going to gush my blood out now.
Good job. She didn't wince. Did you see that, everyone?
Nope.
No pain.
All right, I got to work out the blood a little bit, so maybe I should keep talking.
Yeah, go ahead. And then she's going to put the little the little, wouldn't it be hilarious if she like passed out? But anyways, okay, she'll put the little blood drop on the strip, and then it's going to give us a reading. And, you know, that reading, obviously, morning values are 25% lower. Through the day, your ketones go up. So you might, we always say blow, you might blow a 0.5 in the morning, and then later be a, and then she puts the blood drop right there.
It
later, you might be a 1.1, right? Someone who's losing a ton of weight could be a 3.3. I remember when I first went into ketosis, I was burning a lot of visceral fat, and I remember blowing 4-point-somethings. You know, for a, you know, a lean guy, that was a lot, but my body was getting rid of some tons of visceral fat. And by the way, you will lose a lot of toxins in the beginning, because you're going to lose fat that you really was not able to lose before, because your body will go after those deeper stores. Basically, what's happening is, tell me when your reading's up.
It is up, 1.2.
1.2, yeah, so that's pretty dang good. She's a very efficient fat burner right there, you know. So in the morning, too, you know, to blow a 1.2, I mean, she's really solidly in ketosis. Later, she'd actually be a little higher than that. So what does that mean? You know, what we do with ketosis, your cells can only use two things for energy. And I know that you were going to go there, Meredith, but it's sugar or fat. Healthy people have the ability to use both. And there's nothing wrong with sugar as energy, really. You know, I mean, our body has to be able to do it. When you eat vegetables, you take the vegetables and burn sugar. However, sugar does burn more dirty. It's like burning wood in your fireplace versus natural gas on your stove that burns what? Very clean. You don't even see smoke. So when we push people into ketosis, we're getting their cells to really use the majority of the energy is fat. So we're now burning a cleaner fuel source, and it down-regulates inflammation. It's a strategy actually to fix the cell membrane. That's why ketosis works so well for hormone issues, because it down-regulates that cell inflammation where the hormone receptors are. So her burning, blowing a 1.2 there, it's showing that her cells are using fat for energy, and it's giving the ketones off as a byproduct, and that's what we're measuring. Now, the interesting thing is when I go into ketosis, the first thing I notice is how amazing my memory gets and my brain works very clear. And everybody experiences that once they get...
It's like a switch is turned on, you know? Like, you've been living in black and white, and then the world's color again. It was pretty dramatic for me. It's just so cool, you know?
It is. It was dramatic for me, and it always is. If I go out of ketosis and go back in, it's like, oh, my God. The brain loves this clean fuel source. And that's why it works for these brain conditions all the way back in the 1920s. They realized the brain heals when it uses ketones. And it was a strategy. And then we moved away from it with the advent of all these Neurontin and all these brain medications. How did that work? It didn't. So here we are, years, 80 plus years later, and we are back at it. All this new research is showing how ketosis heals the cells, heals the brain, you know, and it is amazing, you know, how it really is a tool, you know, to really heal the cell in the brain. And it's exciting, you know, and Meredith, just, you know, seeing, you know, you that number right there, you know, knowing that you're burning fat so efficiently is mm-hmm. incredible. And then recently, I think I talked a little bit about it in the article, at least in my part. And matter of fact, we got to tell them about the article. Many people maybe haven't seen the article, so you can.
We didn't quite finish explaining the 5-1-1 rule either.
Oh yeah, we'll go back up. But I'll say this.
But Dan, you have an appointment too, so.
Yeah, exactly. I get so excited about this topic. Like myself, I love ketosis because you know I can be in it. I can ride my bike, literally not eat breakfast, not eat lunch. I could go out at 3 or 4 o'clock and ride for 4 hours and never have to eat. I would never be able to do that, despite how good a shape I was in, if I wasn't in ketosis, because I'm burning fat. I have 100,000 calories on this thin body that I have as an energy source. If you're a sugar burner, you have about 2,000 stored calories. Who's going to last longer with energy, me or that? In ketosis, the skinny guy, me, absolutely, or skinny gal over there. So, okay, 5-1-1.
All right, so 5 days you do the ketogenic diet. 1 day of the week, so this is 7 days total, you fast. So, and you can fast for 24 hours. You can do a water fast, or you can practice intermittent fasting as well, which is when you kind of eat within a specified window of the day. Maybe you would just skip breakfast and then wait and eat between like 1 and 7 p.m. during the day. Just eat breakfast or just eat lunch and dinner or just one meal throughout the day. So that would be your fasting day. And then that last day, you either do a carb load day or a protein load day. And kind of depending on your condition, a lot of different factors involved. Some people do better when they carb load a little bit and have a little bit more carbs that day. Other people do better on a protein load day where they have a little bit more protein. So what are kind of some of the differences between protein loading, carb loading as far as cases, Dr. Pompa, and who does better with which low carb or protein.
Well, exactly. Some people, one day a week, you know, actually thyroid patients and some people just do better with a protein day. Maybe they're protein deficient. I don't think we know clearly, but I know that if someone's, you know, not doing well with a carbohydrate load day, where they bring their carbohydrates, you know, up above 100 in that day. And oftentimes that's hard for people, by the way, after they get used to not doing
it. Just get used to it. You don't even think of it anymore. It's crazy. I was telling someone the other day, too, just as a side note, they were talking, you know, I was telling them about, you know, doing kind of high carb, moderate protein, low fat, and they're like, well, don't you just crave pizza or pasta? And it's funny, I don't, because the craving shut off, number one, and number two, I don't even see that stuff as food anymore. I don't know, it's really weird. It's so weird. I used to love it. I was so addicted for so many years.
It's so true. You know, my hardest day of the week, oftentimes, is my carb day. And I actually lack energy those days. I'm like, you know, it's hard for me. I'm like, oh, my God, I don't even know what to eat. I drink more, you know, Masi, more Gold. I mean, I, you know, if I go out to dinner that night, I'll have the risotto. That's a thing that I, you know, always miss. But it's so, it's like, it's not what you think, right?
Right. You just get in the zone and it just.
So why, I think the question is why? Why would we do a day like that? So we have 5 days we're in ketosis. We take maybe Wednesday, and that's a fasting day, and that's what I do. And then on Saturday is my carb day. You know, so why do we do it? Because here's the point. The body always wants to get very efficient. It always wants to survive. So it will start to get very, very efficient at fat burning to the point where your body will want to hold on to those little bits of fat in those places where you don't like, okay, whether it's your belly, your thighs, whatever it is. And it will do that because it thinks to itself, what if times of not plenty occur, meaning times of starvation happen? So it's smart. It wants to survive. So it tries to hang on to fat. Well, if once a week you have plenty, it reminds the body that, hey, we're not going to starve and we're not starving. So then it kicks fat burning in again after that. So that's why we do it. And the thinner you get, like, you know, like myself, if I don't do that, I definitely lose my lower abs, but when I do that carb load day, man, I can stay really ripped because I bypass the body's survival mechanism. Mm-hmm. So it's a really neat strategy to do that. And again, some people do better with the protein day. You could flip it around, try one, and don't do them consecutively. Don't do the fasting day, then follow it with a carb day because, you know, that seems not to work out as well. Mm-hmm. We just gave them, and then the 2-2-2 rule, real fast, explain that, and then tell them where to read the article because many people haven't read the article.
Yeah, so if you haven't read the article, go to drpompa.com, and it's right there. You can see it under the articles tab, and it's called The Ketogenic Diet, you know, and so you can just find it right there. But so the 2-2-2 rule, the, kind of in addition to the 5-1-1, to get you into ketosis or to be keto-adapted, you know, Dr. Pompa has self-experimented it and found this worked. So you kind of add in these, you know, two different amounts of different things. So you add in 2 tablespoons of either coconut oil, MCT oil, or grass-fed butter, right? One of those days you want to kind of be incorporating that good fat. You also want to be incorporating 2 teaspoons of sea salt because that helps to balance electrolytes, right? Especially when you're fat adapted and you're no longer burning sugar as your main fuel, but you're burning fat, you really need that sea salt to balance your electrolytes. I have found, too, just as a side note, I crave more salt. I feel like I need more salt since I've become fat adapted, that's just been a really important kind of thing to incorporate and have enough salt to just really kind of feel balanced. And And then the last two, what is that last two?
Okay. Yeah, the first two is the coconut oil, 2 tablespoons of coconut oil.
Tablespoons of ghee or grass-fed butter, maybe. Yeah.
And then the second two is 2 tablespoons of grass-fed butter or ghee, which is grass-fed butter.
Okay, so yeah.
Why those fats? Because they contain high levels of medium-chain triglycerides, which help you become a fat burner. Mm-hmm. So it helps fire up your engine to burn fat. Helps your body, your cells learn to use fat. So that's really where the 2-2-2 rule came in, is a way to get your cells to become fat burners. And it's also a way to really utilize, we need these fats, and most people are fat deficient today. So it's a way to force you to remember.
Right?
Yeah, it's a way to remember to get the fats in. And by the way, you can put those fats in your tea in the morning, some of your organic coffee in the morning, is a way to, instead of just taking them off the spoon. You can put them in your food if you'd like, but the point is that between the 5-1-1 rule, the 2-2-2 rule, it's just a strategy to help. And we didn't point out one important point. It was the question I got last night. When do I start the 5-1-1? When do I start that, Meredith, the 5-1-1 rule?
Well, once you're into ketosis, right? Once you've become keto adapted, it is a process. And as you said too in the video that is connected with the article, it takes people longer. It took your wife Marilee 4 months to get into ketosis. 4 months because she's in perimenopause. So, you know, it can be a challenge for some, and it's a process. Like anything, it can take time, you know.
Yep.
But you said it took you 2 weeks to become keto adapted and to get into ketosis, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to be patient with your body and yourself because all of our bodies are so different. You know, different constitutions, gender, age, you know, time in life. There's so many factors. So it is a process, but once you break into it, it's pretty cool and it has some amazing benefits.
No doubt. I wish I had more time to share with you just, you know, by staying in ketosis for a certain amount of months and then coming out and, you know, at certain times and how that works with that survival mechanism, the body's innate intelligence. Because I believe that there's people who struggle if they're just not adapting for them to come out and then go back in. What I'm finding with many of the clients is that when they do that, they're actually able to get in better the next time. So we'll describe that at another time because that's another little trick.
We can do it part 2, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. It's a whole other
conversation.
Yeah, it is. It's a really neat strategy. Now, I discovered it really haphazardly, and there's nothing written about this. It's just working with the hundreds of people that I do, and I was able to share it on my doctor call the other week, and boy, you should have seen people come back with, oh my gosh, you know, I found out this, I didn't know that that was something that would work, and here's what I found, and it was really neat. But you know what, Meredith, we have the next article I want everyone to look out for is leaky gut. You know, many of you out there watching this, you may be having trouble getting into ketosis because you have leaky gut and you have food intolerances.
Right in.
And we're going to talk about that and some of the tricks that we have found along the way to fix leaky gut. So it's a really important article because autoimmune and all these things that really apply to leaky gut. You know, most people today have a leaky gut, by the way. You're food intolerant because you have leaky gut. You have autoimmune. You don't know you have autoimmune because you don't know you have leaky gut.
Mm-hmm.
Please read the article and share it because it's a life changer. Meredith, thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate your wisdom is getting voluminous. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Yep, bye-bye.
Great.
Thank you.